Good morning, and I'm glad that we can come together this morning to worship God, and we have a nice day, and we have an opportunity to remember the Lord's death, and now to study from His Word, and I'm encouraged by your presence as we sing and pray and study God's Word together. It's encouraging. Last Sunday in the class, Seth asked the question, it's a very good question, we were talking about members of a local church. He asked the question, does the Bible teach that we need to be members of a local church? Does the Bible teach that we need to place our membership with someone in a local church? And so this morning, I want to turn to the Scripture and consider that. It's a very great question. When I talked with Seth afterwards, he filled me in a little bit about the context of bringing that up, and it had to do with him being overseas over the past few months and talking with various religious individuals there. They were making the point that you need to be religious, but you don't need to be a member of any particular church. You need to believe in God, you need to maybe read your Bible some or pray, but you don't ever have to be a member of a church. And so he had been around that recently and brought that up in class. We were studying 1 Corinthians 12 that was talking about members of a body. This morning I want us to consider what the New Testament teaches about that. And it's a great topic. It's important. It's a part of being a faithful Christian. But when you turn in your New Testament, you don't ever read anywhere where it says, after you're baptized, you need to join a local church. There's no verse like that. The New Testament doesn't teach it that way. It could. That's one way to teach something, to be specific and plain, and there are times when the New Testament is like that. What we have is membership is taught with the example of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to turn back to our scripture reading here in just a minute, Acts chapter 9. We have an example here in the Apostle Paul, and then we also have where the New Testament teaches membership in an indirect way. It implies it. And we are to conclude from those implications that we are to be members. In fact, it states it as an assumed fact. It just states that this is what is supposed to be the case without telling us you have to be a member. It just states membership. And we are to conclude from that that we need to be a member of a local church. So let's see this morning what it means to be a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, for example, or wherever we might be located. Is it necessary? Well, this first example here is the person like what Seth was talking about, that you need to be a good person, but you don't have to be a member anywhere. That is very common. It's very common here in Clarksville, other places, where I need to be a good person, but I don't need to be a church-going person. The other situation that you'll find from time to time is that people will visit around, and there's nothing wrong with visiting, but they will never place membership anywhere. They will never commit themselves to a particular body. That happens from time to time. Sometimes people will place membership. They'll tell the elders that we would like to be a member here, and an announcement is made. But after that, they're often rarely active. They've got their name in a directory. Their name is on the box back there, the mailbox. But they're not really active in helping the other members. Sometimes you'll have that as a situation. And then probably in the past 10 years or so, it's been very popular, especially in the denominational world, to have a cyber church or an online church service. I've got an online church family, somebody says, and this will allow people to worship God at home on a regular basis. I'm not talking about over this past year where that has been made available. I'm talking about this has been going on for like 10 years, the idea of a cyber church. So you've got these situations going on. And what does the New Testament teach us about our responsibility to be members in a local church? I wanted to answer that question that Seth raised last week. First of all, We need to just remind ourselves of what membership is not. The local church is not like other clubs. You could join the Kiwanis Club, and that would be great. You could join Toastmasters. You could join a club in town that's for hobbies, personal hobbies. And that's fine. And that type of thing, you can sort of come and go. Sometimes you can show up. Sometimes you don't have to. But that's not what the local church is. The local church is a functioning body. Just like we don't want our physical bodies sometimes to work and sometimes it doesn't work, it's a constantly functioning body. So the local church is not a social or civic club where we pay dues. It's certainly not one of many denominations. Of course, we know that in the New Testament there were no denominations, and so we're not trying to be that today. It's not a casual meet and greet, come and go, sort of a play church or just keep it casual kind of thing. You may be able to count on me, you may not be able to. It's not that. It is much more than that. And that's what we want to consider this morning, how important it is to be an active member. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2 in just a moment. I want us to notice two different bodies in the New Testament, two different ways in which church is used in the New Testament. First of all, it's used in what we call the universal sense, all Christians everywhere. And with regard to that, when we're baptized into Christ, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church, or the Lord added to them day by day those who were saved. With regard to all Christians everywhere, when you're baptized into Christ, no matter where it is, it could be a creek, a pond, a baptistry, a swimming pool, anywhere all over the world, when you're baptized into Christ, the Lord immediately adds you to His body. There's nothing you say or do to join anything or to identify or anything like that. It's just automatic. But what we're talking about this morning is a local group of Christians. Now turn back with me to Acts chapter 9 and the scripture reading that we had. That is something that is not automatic. That is something that takes a conscious choice. And there must be a statement of intent. It's not automatic to be a member in the local sense. And that's what we're talking about this morning when we talk about local church membership. Notice that after Paul's baptism, he had gone to Damascus to persecute Christians. He is baptized into Christ, verse 18. He preaches there for some time. Some time goes along here. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, when he comes to Jerusalem, he attempted, the older versions say he essayed, he attempted to join himself to the disciples. Just stop right there. That right there means that he had an intent. He wanted, and it implies some communication. I want to be with you, disciples, here at Jerusalem. So it is a voluntary act, number one. It implies communication and intent that I want to join myself with you. And notice in verse 26, join himself. This is not in the modern denominational sense of join the church of your choice. This is in the sense of he wanted to be a member with them in this local church at Jerusalem. Now notice this, and they, the Christians there at Jerusalem, they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. All they had known about this man was that he was a persecutor. They had not heard about his conversion at this point. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So notice the first thing in verse 26 is this voluntary act and this intent that I want to be a part of this group. That implies communication. You have to tell somebody. And in the case here at Warfield, that would be our elders. You have to speak. I want to join you. I want to be with you. Notice the second thing in verse 27 is that there is a discussion about who you are. We need to know who you are. And so there needs to be questions that are asked. There needs to be some discussion, some communication. Who are you? Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you faithful in your standing? Yes. Are you
proper and right in all that you're doing. So notice in verse 27, it wasn't just automatic that when you say, can I be a member? Yes, you can be a member. There is, verse 27, some discussion to find out who this person is, because we would not otherwise know you. So there is that. And then notice in verse 28, and he was with them going in and going out. Underscore that in your Bible. He was with them. That implies a membership in a group there at Jerusalem. And going in and going out means that he had an active working relationship with them. He would start with them and go out and preach. He would come back to them. It implies a body or a group of people that you are a part of. So by example, then, the New Testament teaches us that we need to be members of a local church. Also, we're going to notice this morning that membership is not only taught by example here, but membership is going to be taught by implication. All throughout the New Testament, in many different ways, membership is taught. Let's look at a few examples of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, we have the church of God which is at Corinth. Membership is seen in that when we read our New Testaments, we find specific identifiable assemblies of God. There would be no way to have that if membership was not what God wanted. You would never be able to identify a called out assembly at Corinth unless there were a group of people there who knew who each other were, and that it can be identified as a local church. The churches of Christ, Romans 16 and 16. We have all different kinds, the church of the Thessalonians, that type of thing. Whenever in the New Testament there is an identifiable assembly of God's people, that implies the necessity of membership so that we know that that's an identifiable group. Otherwise it would just be nebulous and we wouldn't know. Membership is also seen in the specific members that can be identified in a group. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. How would we ever know who certain Christians are if there was not membership? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we find the bishops to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi. Well, who are these saints? Are they just miscellaneous saints roaming around town? No, they're a part of a group where we can identify these people are saints, and these people are bishops, the other term for elders, and these people are deacons. You would have to know who that was at Philippi. Well, that implies members of the church saying, I want to be a part of this group, so that when Paul writes, he can address them. In other words, membership is seen everywhere in the New Testament without a verse saying, after you're baptized, you have to be a member of a local church. There's other ways, in other words, in which that is taught. Membership is also seen in that it is implied by the principle of being members of one body. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Sometimes in the New Testament, when one body is used, the phrase one body, sometimes we have to study that carefully in certain contexts. Sometimes I believe it means the church universal. Ephesians 4 verse 4, there's one body. Sometimes I believe, like in the case here, where it would be more along the idea of one body in a locality, the saints there at Rome. So in chapter 12 and verse 4, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. I believe you find the same thing in 1 Corinthians 12 with regard to Corinth. And even after the one body statement of Ephesians 4, he goes on to talk about the body. I believe he's talking about the body there at Ephesus. So it's implied by the principle of being a member of one body. Here's another way in which membership is required. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. There is a necessity of being a member of a local church because there is a time in which we are to assemble. We're to assemble. And we've just assembled this morning for the Lord's Supper. And that assembling requires me being with a particular group. Well, how would I know where that group meets and what that group is? There has to be a local church assembly, or I wouldn't know where the assembly is. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the church at Corinth, they were assembling. They were assembling for the worship service. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, for example. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one has a psalm and so forth. When you come together, well, where would they know to come together? What time would they know to come together? All of those things are determined by the decisions of a local church. Church itself, a called out assembly, an assembly. That word itself implies a body of people. Well, how do I know if I'm in that body or not? I place membership. So it's implied there as well. Back in chapter 14 and verse 12, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church, the called out assembly. Well, how do I know if I'm a member of that or not? Well, membership answers that question. Not only do local Christians assemble for the Lord's Supper, but if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in the case of a matter of church discipline, Paul said that the discipline was to be done when they were gathered together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you being gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus to deliver such a one unto Satan. So this makes for what we call church discipline to be done as a group. It could be where the elders stand up and make an announcement. The elders could talk with the members of the church about what they're going to do. But it's when you're gathered together. It's to be something where the whole body is a part of that. So then we have the assembly in chapter 14. We have gathering together for church discipline. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are very familiar with this on the Lord's Supper. The discussion starts back in verse 17, but I just want to notice verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, that is to eat the Lord's Supper, wait one for another. When you come together to eat. Well, how would I know who to come together with if there was no local church membership? How would I know where they're meeting, when they're meeting, who they are, those types of things? Membership, you see, is implied in all of these things. As members, we're required to assemble for edification, preaching and teaching, for worship. We've already looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn with me with regard to the matter of singing. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, very familiar passage. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, how can we do that? Who's the one another? Who is that? Well, it's the local assembly. And you'll also note that male members are needed to lead that worship service. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. And we need to, as men, be developing ourselves to do that. So there are responsibilities that we have. And those responsibilities to assemble for the Lord's Supper, to assemble for church discipline, to assemble for edification and learning and worship, that implies that I need to be there. I need to be there. These are requirements. These are not options. These are not suggestions. These are not just things that where we may or may not get to them. That's what sets apart the local church from a social or a civic club. There are clubs like that that have some sort of minimum type requirements, but typically a social or civic club, you can come and go and there's not really any sort of strict adherence to that. But the local church has requirements, and we need to be meeting those on a weekly and regular basis. And so the local church would demand that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're to assemble to contribute our money. This is what the world as a whole needs to understand. There are things that are done only in the assembly. There are a lot of people who believe that their religion and their service to God is just purely individual between me and God. And so on any given Sunday, I can do that at home. I can have a relationship with God at home. I can have a relationship with God out on the golf course, you know. I don't have to go be at a building with some other people. That's sort of the thinking. I can be at home. I can be cutting my grass and have a relationship with God. I don't have to go somewhere and be with people. And that's where they don't understand God's Word. Jesus wants us to be baptized into His body, but He wants us on a regular basis to assemble with others to do certain things. He knows that that is good for our emotional and spiritual well-being, to be with others to do these things. And so some things are to be done only in the assembly. We've seen one of them, the Lord's Supper. Another one here is the contribution. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia. Stop right there. How would Paul even know what the churches of Galatia are if they were just some nebulous kind of thing? No, they were formal groups of individuals who formally stated that they wanted to be a member of this particular group. And as those groups formed, it formed the churches of Galatia. So also do you. It's not an option. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. And so the first day of the week is specified, and this gathering together to collect the money is specified. These are things that are being done when we come together. That necessitates a membership. We're also required to be subject to elders. Turn with me, there are several passages there on the PowerPoint with regard to our subjection to elders, but just turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's use this one to illustrate our point. 1 Peter chapter 5. Membership is taught in the New Testament anytime there is the teaching of elders. Elders are to tend or watch over the flock of God among them. How would they know how to do that? If nobody's a member, if nobody has to be a member, if there were elders somewhere in a given city, who would the flock be? You see, membership is implied because there has to be a flock over which the elders oversee. And so in verse 2, 1 Peter 5, tend the flock of God which is among you, together. Membership is implied there, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, and so forth. And we need male members to grow up and meet those qualifications of elders and deacons, because that's what's supposed to be in a local church. But local church membership is taught anytime there is the teaching of elders. Because elders oversee a flock, and the only way they can know what the flock is or who the flock is to people to say, I want to be in this flock or I don't want to be in this flock. And that's why it's best in the case of elders in a local church for each new person who wants to be a member to talk to the elders. The elders need to know if you are now becoming one of the sheep in the flock or not. So membership is taught that way as well. Here's another way in which membership is taught in the New Testament, and that is that we have over 20 one another obligations. Sometime last year I passed out a sheet. We were studying something else in the adult Bible class, a sheet of the various one another passages in the New Testament. If you'd like another copy of that, you're welcome to that. We have many, many one another obligations. Well, the only way in which we can fulfill a one another obligation is, who would we know who the one another's are? You can't have one another unless there is an official group of people where people have stated, I'm in this group. Then you know who the one or the other is. So the one another passages teach membership. And by the way, those one another passages are not one another suggestions. Many of them are in the command form. We are to be doing these things. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:1. That's not an option. We're to do that. Well, how would I know who that other person is that has a burden? That's the other member in the local church. And so we need to know who those are so that we can help them and vice versa. We're very familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn with me there. Many one another passages that we need to be fulfilling. And the only way that is done is when we know who the members are. We exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly. Well, just stop right there. Who's disorderly? Is it brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? I don't know. They've never placed membership. They're in town. Sometimes they come. Am I supposed to talk with them? Well, who are the disorderly? Who are the ones that are listed in this verse? Who are the faint-hearted? How would we know? Who are the weak? And so forth. When we formally state that we want to be a sheep in the flock, and I want these elders to watch over me, we begin to know who's who. And that's why it's also important to have a formal statement of that. And by formal, I don't mean it can be done a number of ways. When I was young, I used to see people walk forward during an invitation song. They'd made the decision, we want to be members here. I've seen it where they talk privately to the elders and then they make an announcement. There's a number of different ways in which that can be done. But by formal, I mean a communicated statement. So that from this point on, we know and everybody knows and the whole flock needs to know who the members are. So if down the road someone became disorderly or faint-hearted or weak, we would know who that is and we could go help them. So it's implied in all of those one another passages. As members, we are also required to be ready to serve. Phoebe was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. We're to serve. There's work that needs to be done. Phil mentioned some of that this morning in his announcements. There's various things and various works that need to be done, and we need to volunteer for that. We need to be busy and ready unto every good work. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6, the church at Jerusalem, they had some needs that needed to be taken care of, and men were appointed. Now, how do we know who we can call upon? We need to be members. And we have good works that we need to be doing, not only out in the community, but one toward another. And local church membership is implied in that. This is an area that it's a good reminder. It's not just simply going to the elders and I want to be a member and then not being active. Just like the members of our body, we want our fingers and our arms and our legs and everything, heart and lungs, we want everything to work. As members, we all need to be working together, doing something to the building up of the body. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We all have different talents. We have different roles, male and female in the local congregation. Different roles, different talents. We have different ages. We have different physical abilities, different mental abilities. But we all need to be doing something. And that's Paul's point in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice that again. Membership is to be taken very, very seriously. Very seriously. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working and due measure of each several or individual part, making the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. That which every joint supplies. What are you supplying? What am I supplying? It could be a phone call. It could be a visit. It could be a donation. It could be volunteering time on Saturday the 27th at 9 o'clock. It could be a number of things. But let's do something. The teaching program, the coming VBS, the whatever. Let's be active in our membership. We want more than just a name in a directory, more than just a name on a mailbox. Doing something, that which every joint supplies. Do you remember the lesson a few weeks ago? She has done what she could. That's what we're talking about. Just do what you can. Do what you can. And we will be active. We will be growing. We will build each other up. But that's the whole point of local church membership. If there is one thing, I'll be honest with you. If there's one thing I've noticed in the Lord's church in the past 30 years or so, is I've noticed that in some cases, membership has become sort of this cheap, knockoff, sham type of thing where you state you want to be a member, but you really don't have to do anything thereafter. We need to be very careful about that. Take it very seriously where we are active members, and we will be blessed by the Lord. Well, as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, going back to Acts chapter 9, turn with me there. Did you notice that the disciples there, when it came time for Paul wanting to join them, did you notice that it wasn't just automatic? The text says that they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. It wasn't just an automatic thing. It wasn't just a thing where somebody walks through the door and it's just automatic that they're going to be a member. It should be protected. Elders should protect the flock. We don't know who's coming through the door. We would hope that it would be the greatest godly person ever, and that would be great. We don't know. Nobody knows. And it has to be protected, and it has to be taken seriously. We use the word vetting. That's what they were doing. They were vetting Paul. And it took Barnabas to help them make that discussion. He understood about Paul, and so he brought him and said, look, I know that this man has been converted. Sometimes today in local congregations, it's not taken seriously because I don't know if the elders are worried about numbers, they want a lot of numbers, or they don't want to turn anybody away. I don't know, but in some cases today, you'll have a local congregation will just be full of folks, and there could be practicing adulterers out there. There could be all kinds of stuff going on. False teaching, error. Maybe somebody who was never even baptized into Christ came from some denomination. I don't know. I don't know what the thinking is of the elders or others, but all I know is in Acts chapter 9, that's not how it was treated. It was taken very seriously, and questions were asked, and time was taken to make sure that someone who comes is going to be someone who is of like mind on the truth with regard to being together in a local church. It is sometimes necessary maybe to receive a word from somebody else. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. This happened in the case of Apollos. You might get word from somebody by directly talking to them. You might get word from somebody by having somebody else write a letter of commendation. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia or Corinth, when he was minded to pass over into Achaia, Acts 18:27, the brethren encouraged him, and look at this, and wrote to the disciples to receive him. Why did they do that? Because you don't just accept anybody into your fellowship. And that's a ball that has been dropped, in my opinion, in the past few years, and it causes problems in a local congregation. So we have Paul and others, we have examples of these letters where statements of commendation are made so that other brethren can know about these individuals. That could be done today. It is sometimes necessary to refuse or reject a request for membership. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Someone who's not living according to the Scripture does not have some automatic right to be a member of a particular local congregation. Now, as I said earlier, sometimes elders and others don't vet very carefully. They just let anybody and everybody in. But that's not the Bible way. So mark them or identify them that are causing divisions and questions of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. Now, this may be those who are already in a group, certainly so, but it could also be used for those who are coming in with a known immoral situation or erroneous situation. We're not to have fellowship with that. 2 John 9 through 11. So sometimes that is necessary. And all of that is saying that the local church, Jesus intends for it to be taken very, very seriously. Well, it's a part of being a faithful Christian. No, we don't have a verse that says, after you're baptized, go join a local church. We don't have that. But in all of those other principles that we saw this morning, local church membership is taught, and it's a part of being a faithful member. And I know that everyone here present this morning, I'm sure, wants that very thing for their lives. You know, when a person fails to be a member, this is the person that Seth was talking to. Well, I don't have to be a member. Well, they presume to know more than God. God's way is for us to be a member of a local church and be active in serving in that group. Let us not presume to know more than God. And a lot of times, when a person doesn't want to be a member, they're just simply putting worldly things before the worship and work of the Lord. Being a member is a sacrifice to put God's body first. And sometimes this person who fails to be a member or an active member ends up being weak, and they put their own salvation at risk. It's the person who is just barely holding on, and you'll see it. Their attendance falls off. Their activity falls off. They'll come some, and then they won't come some. They'll be kind of warm for a few weeks, and then they'll be cold for a few weeks, and then not at all. It's happened here. It's happened just about everywhere I've been. And that is a person who doesn't truly understand not just the requirement of being a member, but the privilege, the blessing and privilege of being with a group of Christians and how it helps them. They really don't understand that, and so they just end up back out in the world. And maybe we know of people like that. Well, I hope that that has helped this morning deal with that great question of the importance of being a member of the local church. And we have visitors from time to time having heard that and learned that. I want you to know that if that is something that is on your mind, please talk with our elders about that, and they can assist you in that matter. And those of us who have already stated our desire to be joined with this group, young and old, even our young teenage Christians, young and old, let us be as active as we can as we work and worship together here. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. We always leave that invitation open to come, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized. If you're a child of God who has erred in some way and we can assist you in coming back, we can help you with that as well. What we want is not just something that we often see out in the community where it's this cheap type of relationship, this come and go, but we want a loving, committed, working relationship for all of us. And if we can help you to be a part of that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?